Now, Fred Leone is a Batchelor, Garawani, Tongan and South Sea Island man. He's a hip-hop and rap artist who's been performing traditional dance since he was 14. Now, Fred's very passionate about preserving his language and his culture, that of the Batchelor people of Fraser Island. Belinda Hoare sat down, had a yarn with Fred about what that means for him.
To me, in an urban context, see, I grew up in Brisbane and my grandmother was moved down to Cherbourg at about 8 years old and she's Batchelor, South Sea and Batchelor. So, I don't know, in the last 10, 15 years, I felt this urgency around learning as much as I can and passing on what I can and making it relevant in whatever way I can.
When you were a teenager, how did you get into traditional dance?
Yeah, when I was little, I watched my older brothers started the first Mananjala Yugambeh dance group because they learnt dances from our older cousins who were originally from the Cape that lived down here. Their mother was Aunty Aileen Brady, the wife of Pastor Don Brady. And Pastor Don Brady was known as the Punching Pastor. He'd come down here and he was a Christian minister, but at the same time he held true to his beliefs as an Aboriginal man and culture. And so he came down here in the 60s, started leading all the rallies, and his sons were dancers since they were little, you know, all throughout the 60s and 70s and 80s. So that was the first dance group to kick off, you know, down the East Coast, the Lower East Coast. And then it sort of sparked an interest in, I'll pass the Don's G brothers and sisters up. Why are you not practicing your culture? Why are you not wanting to speak language? It's dying out. So from all the stories I heard growing up, it does a lot to a young person if you have role models here and there scattered throughout your life that are really strong, not only politically but culturally, and headstrong around what they wanted to do. And his legacy lives on today, like through many of the dance groups around Southeast Queensland.
So you started with more general Indigenous traditional dance, and then that sparked your interest in finding out more about your own...
Yeah, because when I got a little bit older, I started doing, in high school then, like, so I'd dance little bits and pieces and watch my older brothers dance, and then when I got into high school, Mum put us into St. James Prac down in the valley. There was the biggest mob of black fellas in that school, and Waka Waka dancers were coming in teaching dance. Uncle Country, now rest in peace, old fella, he come in and he was called Geology as well. So he came down and he lived here in Brisbane and he, you know, had a dance group. And he'd come around all the schools and teach and give up his time to come in, and you know, he would have taught hundreds, like literally hundreds and hundreds of young Murrays over the years. So I was about 14, and then I started dancing with the school dance group. We started dancing regularly, actually. There was a Pacific Island dance group and a Vietnamese dance group and the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island groups. So we'd always be practicing. We'd spend like 2-3 lunchtimes a week. That was the only reason I was going to school, that and basketball. And it was just a great thing to experience at that age and to feel my identity being acknowledged and validated.
Yeah,
in this group, a group of people, and the school for actually allowing this to happen and allowing us to perform at the school. And every now and again, we'd go and perform at other schools. We did Broncos games, Lord Mayors, Premiers, like because of that freedom to express ourselves in that way at that age. For me, especially, I know it was one of the reasons why I didn't end up going off the rails.
How did you get from touring and performing traditional dance to getting into hip-hop?
Yeah, it was weird. I used to rap. So, like, from about the age of 12, I'd be just rapping other people's raps, actually. And one of my cousins, because I'm Tongan as well, see? And one of my cousins, Soana from Inala, he had this one rap, and I can't repeat it because it's, you know, Inala gangster rap at the time. Anyway, he had this rap song, and all the young black fellas in Inala wanted to rap like him. And he was Tongan fellow, but, you know, we all hung out together, all the Tongan fellows and Aboriginal fellows all hung around each other. So I listened to this fellow and I memorised all these raps. And then when I got to about 17, Marlon Tyson, who used to dance with my brothers in their dance group, he said to me, oh, I want to introduce you to this fellow, he's a rapper. So he introduced me to this bloke, Sabre MC, Steve, and we went around there and they said, oh, wow, you know, and you do it all in your own accent. I said, yeah, that's cool. And they were like Aussie hip-hop guys. I didn't know they'd been around for years in a group called Rescue for Disaster. They were really well known. They really liked your stuff. They said, I'm going to teach you how to rap. I'm going to teach you how to write music, write raps.
Great.
Like, oh, wow, okay. So then I was, you know, in high school every weekend. All we did was, like, just rehearse, write raps, rehearse, write raps, rehearse, practice. And then after, I think it was, like, 6 months or something, so I said, well, I think you're ready. So we did our first gig at the Goodna Community Hall.
You're listening to SBS Living Black Radio. And so, Fred, do you think that being an artist helps you to promote social change?
Oh, definitely. I think one thing that I love about the art, performing art, I'm not much of a visual artist, performing arts, music, on stage, acting, storytelling, writing stories and being able to perform them to people. You can say things that you normally can't say if you were to have a conversation with somebody. Mm. Like if I was to have a conversation about the state of Aboriginal Australia with somebody, a random at a party, shut down very quickly. Oh, yeah, but, you know, and then all the stereotypes come out and it's boom, 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 boom. When I'm able to write a song or perform on stage and, you know, spin that narrative over the top of songs that may necessarily not have anything to do with black politics or black politics in general, but people are open to it and they ask questions and they want to learn more. I think it's the way in which we as artists or performing artists deliver these messages. There's so much of the power of that is until you experience being able to do it and seeing people be receptive to it. When all my life growing up, I've had people tell me this about, you know, oh, their fathers over there, they're all cannibals and this and that, and tell me stuff that they've heard through the grapevine. I've never met a black soul before in life, but they're going to sit there and tell me stuff about my mob, who I know because I'm living in this community and living around, you know, like been all over the country, and tell me things about it that they've heard second, third hand, and they're just stereotypes. The power in performance is amazing. What it does for a person's self-confidence, it gives you the opportunity to evaluate some things as well yourself in that process because you know, you have to consciously be thinking about what's coming out of your mouth constantly or take that narrative to. Where do you want to take that narrative? How do you want that narrative to be received by the listener or the viewer?
Absolutely. And you're doing a lot of performing right now and you're about to do a fair bit of touring as well. Can you tell us about your new group?
Yes, Yawa. Yeah, so Yawa in Batsala means song and dance. And we came together, the Australian worldwide music expo down in Melbourne. We put together the sets of that. I was going down as a separate artist to Jupuru and Efik, who are two of the other band members, and then there's Luke Fabilla, who's Jupuru's nephew. Anyway, I was going down as Impossible Odds, the group that I'm in, and I wanted to trial this new idea. Anyway, I was having dinner with Adrian Jupuru, and he said, oh, well, what do you want to do? And I said, oh, well, I actually want to do, like, dubstep, electronic music, and fuse it with whatever your style. Adrian said, yeah, it'd be great to hear you sing, because he knew I was sung in lingo from the dance group. He said, it'd be great to have a lot of language on it.
Yeah.
So we got together the next weekend. We flew his nephew up, bam, put together a set, took it down, and it was one of the highlights of that expo. Then immediately from there, we were at the Sydney Opera House playing TEDx. And then from TEDx, we did our next gig in Sapporo, Japan. And then we did another gig in Tokyo, and then we've just been gigging ever since.
You're about to go to Sao Paulo and London. What are you doing there?
Funnily enough, over that weekend of TEDx, I became a member of Black Armband, which is a world-renowned group that travel around, you know, regional remote communities, but also internationally. So for the last 12 months, I've been the guest artistic director of Dirt Song, which is one show Black Armband has produced over the years. And now we have, which is really awesome, Emma Donovan has now stepped into the role as artistic director for the whole company. And she's been there since day one. She's been one of the vocalists since day one. She's also in, you know, Emma Donovan and the Footbacks, which is really exciting because she knows everything about the band. She's just an awesome artist and a great advocate for what Black Armband does. So I'm in the group as a performer as well. So tomorrow I fly to New Zealand. And we're taking Uncle Archie Roach and Paul Kelly and we're playing New Zealand Festival. And then late April, we fly off to Brazil, Sao Paulo, and we do two shows there. We're also doing some workshops with local Indigenous artists. And then we fly from there, play two nights in London at the Barbican. And then I do a bit of a written show with the National Theatre of Scotland. So I'm taking that over with 15 of my mob. in October, doing a little sideshow in Hawaii before then, and potentially taking the dance group over to Taiwan.
And it all started in a community hall doing a bit of rap.
And I had older people, you know, Uncle Tony going, what are you doing that rap crap for? What's yeah, and they were always saying it to me, you know, and I'm just glad I stuck it out. It gave me the confidence, you know, and helped me to express myself so I didn't end up imploding, which I could have done on many occasions, like a lot of young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men do. And we have the highest male suicide rate. I think the arts and music, music in particular, I notice, is a really good outlet for young black males.